We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Last week, we considered verses 1 through 6. In this message, we want to continue verses 7 through 13 and finish up the chapter. We're speaking of the limitations of Christian liberty. In 1 Corinthians 6, 12, Paul wrote, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not speedy. All things are lawful for me, but I will
not be brought under the power of any. Although there are many things which I might be at liberty to do, I should not do anything which might lead some weaker Christian to commit sin." This problem came up at Corinth, and the Corinthians wrote to Paul for guidance as to how they might best handle it. Specifically, the problem was this: should a believer eat meat left over from pagan sacrifices? It was much cheaper, it was good quality, but was it an act of pagan worship? Would their conduct build up another brother in the Lord, or would it cause him to sin? What is the proper attitude a believer should have toward things which may seem harmless in themselves, but which have an evil connotation to other believers? In 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 13, we see that our attitude should be that we will never do anything which might cause a weaker Christian to commit sin. Now, let me give you a little piece of information we determined this morning. When I did this about 10 days ago, we left blanks in there for some of you to fill out. And we are in the second half of what we distributed last week. So there are blanks here. There will be blanks in half of the papers next time, and no blanks in the other half, all right? And you can pick and choose whichever you want, but we're trying to help people learn the Bible, and we want to do it in the way that is best for you, and you may not be the same as everybody else, all right? So we're trying to accommodate in that regard. Now, going on, in verses 1 through 6, we've already seen that we all have some knowledge. Those first six verses read this way: "Now as touching or concerning things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge," meaning this knowledge, "puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by or through him. Although we all have some knowledge, we see in verses 7 through 13 that we do not all have the same knowledge, all right? We do not all have the same knowledge. Although all believers have some knowledge, some, due to their backgrounds in idol worship, have not yet learned that idols are nothing and gods are nothing. Unfortunately, they still have a consciousness of an idol they formerly worshipped, and eat things which had been offered unto an idol as if they were worshiping that idol. As a result of their weak conscience being defiled, they are guilty of sinning against their own conscience. Now, I'm going to have to admit that I have a lot of blanks there in that paragraph. So if it's all right with you, or even if it's not, I'm going to go back through it again, and hopefully you'll be able to get the blanks filled in this time. Sorry about being so quick. Although all believers have some knowledge, some, due to their backgrounds in idol worship, have not yet learned that idols are nothing and gods are nothing. Unfortunately, they still have consciousness of an idol they formerly worshipped and eat things which had been offered unto an idol as if they were worshipping that idol. As a result of their weak conscience being defiled, they are guilty of sinning against their own conscience. And we go on in verse 7, howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Verse 7 indicates that not all believers think alike on the subject of eating meat which has been offered to idols. Howbeit is the same word translated but in verse 6 and introduces a statement in strong contrast to what was stated in verse 6. There is not in every man that knowledge is, there is not in all this knowledge or understanding. Man is not limited to male individuals. That knowledge refers to the fact or the thought that there is only one God. Not everybody has that knowledge, meaning the Father, and only one Lord, Jesus Christ. There are not gods many and lords many, but not all believers recognized this yet, particularly some who had formerly worshipped this idol, false god, to whom this meat had been offered in sacrifice. For some refers to the people in the church at Corinth who may have been recent converts who had not yet had much opportunity to experience a great deal of spiritual growth in their lives. This group of people is described as being with conscience of the idol unto this hour. Now, it seems strange to us who have been brought up in this country, many of you or some of you in this particular local church, and many of the rest of us in other local churches just like this one. We never were involved in idolatry. Now, some of you may have been. It depends on where you attended a particular church, all right? There is idolatry in some of them. But I want you to understand that we have people here that have been saved for 50 or 60 years or more. These people, if they were saved the longest, it might only be 5 years in this particular church, and some of them were brand new converts. They had just come out of idolatry. They really weren't sure where they stood in this idolatry. So just remember that just because it says this here about these particular people doesn't mean that there was something wrong with them. You grew up in a totally different situation. For some refers to people in the church at Corinth who may have been recent converts, not having experienced much spiritual growth, and they are described as being with conscience of the idol unto this hour, right up till now. Conscience suggests consciousness or awareness and suggests that this group honestly believed that this idol represented a real God. Unto this hour is until the present time, or until now. They eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, suggests that those who still had consciousness of the idol believed that by eating this meat, they were engaging in the worship of this idol. Now, that was what they really thought. Their conscience, being weak, is defiled or stained, indicates that this eating, this meat that had been offered unto the idol, went against their consciences and was therefore sin for them. As far as they were concerned, they were still worshiping this idol if they ate meat which had been offered in sacrifice to it, even if it was not eaten in the idol's temple. Their consciences were telling them that their eating this meat was once again involving them in the worship of this idol. Verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Eating meat does not bring anyone close to God. It does not make him more or less acceptable to God. Verse 9, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. The Corinthian believers must never let their liberty in Christ become a stumbling block to weak believers. Now, here's an actual situation. But you take this and put this principle into effect in your own life here and now. We should never do anything which might lead a weaker believer to sin against his conscience, okay? Be careful as adults that we don't do things that the children think are sin. Don't be guilty of saying, do as I say, do not do as I do. That's a bad idea. It's a good idea not to do it, but it's a bad idea to say that, all right? Take heed, watch out. Lest by any means is understood as that perhaps, or lest somehow. This liberty of yours, is this freedom of choice of yours, or this right of yours, and suggest this right of yours to eat meat which has been previously offered in sacrifice to an idol. Become implies that a change may come to pass. It further implies that it has not yet happened. Instead, its action is only potential. We could say that Paul was trying to head it off at the pass, okay? Their right to eat meat which has been offered in sacrifice to idols may become a stumbling block, something over which another believer may trip or fall. And the idea is that their action may lead other believers to commit sin against their consciences. You never want to take and do something which would lead another believer to sin against or to violate his conscience. To them that are weak refers to those in verse 4 who do not yet know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is only one who is God. Of this same group, it is stated in verse 7 that they do not yet have the knowledge that there is only one God, meaning God the Father, and only one Lord, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know. For verse 10, if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? In verse 10, the explanation is carried a step farther, whereas in verses 7 through 9, Paul has been discussing the practice of purchasing meat which has been offered in sacrifice to an idol, purchasing it, say, in the meat market, and eating this meat in some place other than in the idol's temple. But in verses 10 through 11, he's discussing actually eating this meat in the idol's temple. If any man see thee, means if anyone or someone notices you, which hast knowledge, indicates that the one who has knowledge or the one having knowledge is the strong believer. The use of this phrase distinguishes the individual who has knowledge from the group of weak believers in verse 7. He's one of the strong believers who knows that there's only one God, God the Father, and that there's only one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He also knows that an idol is nothing in the world. Hast knowledge suggests has comprehension or has an intellectual grasp of something and speaks of a present possession. Sit at meat is literally lying down. And when used of eating, it is understood in the sense of reclining at a table or dining. You'll have to understand, if you don't already, that they didn't eat at a table while sitting on a chair like we do, okay? The table was either very low or perhaps the floor. Okay, let's assume it's on the floor. How are you going to sit there and put your feet under the table? You aren't going to. Do you remember diagonal parking with your car? Yeah, you kind of pull in on an angle. And so what they would do is they would recline, basically lie down on the floor, propping themselves up with the left elbow, eating with the right hand, and their feet and the rest of them at a diagonal angle to the table, angling away from the table. So that if I were sitting or lying down there to eat, and the person, let's use Jesse as an example, were to my right, his head would come about chest high on me. He would be said to be lying in my bosom. Remember at the Last Supper, the Apostle John was said to be lying in Christ's bosom. It does not mean he was using Jesus' chest as a pillow. It means he was to the right of him. So he could lean back and speak to him privately, but his head would be about chest high on the person to his left, to Jesus, in the case of that Last Supper. If you've seen the paintings of the Last Supper, they're at a table. Okay, that's just not quite right. It needed to be a different picture. And I hope you get the picture tonight, all right? Get the picture. You can't put your feet under this table. So you might say to your children, sit up straight. You can't here, okay? You'd have to change whatever it is you say. So part of this meat was burned in the altar. Part was sold in the market. Part was eaten in a solemn meal. In this conditional statement, the strong believer is seen to be eating meat in the idol's temple as part of this solemn meal, the very place where the idol is worshipped. And the one who sees him eating in this idol's temple is the believer who has the weak conscience and who does not have the knowledge that an idol is nothing in this world. Now you might ask yourself, and I've asked myself, Why would a believer ever sit at a meal in an idol's temple? He would not be there for the purpose of worshiping the idol, but he might attend a community event, a family celebration or some sort. It may adversely affect the weak believer's conscience. I went to some kind of a nurse's capping ceremony. I think it was my sister who was being capped as a nurse. I don't think they do that anymore. The nurses never wear caps like they used to. It was in a Roman Catholic church. I tripped over the kneeler, okay? I didn't realize it was there. And then I didn't want anybody seeing me coming out of there. I remember as a teenager working with a deacon in my home church. We were working in a bar in downtown Aurora, Illinois. Apparently there had been a brawl the night before and the door got torn off. I didn't want anybody seeing us in there, thinking we were in there imbibing when neither one of us ever drank anything except water or milk or something like that. You want to be careful where you go. Now, sometimes you don't have any choice. I didn't have any choice. The boss sent us there to fix the door. So we went there and fixed the door, but we did not imbibe, all right? But we didn't want anybody who knew us to see us. If this condition is met, if someone sees a strong believer eating meat in the idol's temple, two conclusions in the form of questions follow. Both conclusions assume positive answers. The answer to both questions is assumed to be yes. The first conclusion is, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened, meaning be strengthened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And it assumes yes, he will be emboldened or strengthened to eat those things which are offered to idols in violation of his conscience, which is telling him that it is sin. The second conclusion is found in verse 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Through thy knowledge is, and on the basis of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, is understood in the sense of shall the weak brother be ruined. In this context, it does not speak of eternal damnation in the lake of fire. For whom is because of whom or on account of whom Christ died. It implies, yes, the weaker brother will be ruined. It means that it will adversely affect his relationship to the Lord. His fellowship with Christ will be broken until he confesses and forsakes his sin. But here's another statement. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So if a strong believer goes into an idol's temple to eat meat, this might encourage the weak believer who believes that his going into the idol's temple to eat meat is sin. It might encourage him to likewise go into the idol's temple to eat meat because he sees the strong believer doing it. In doing so, the weak brother will violate his conscience, thereby committing sin. At the same time, the strong believer will not only be guilty of sinning against his weak brother, but also of sinning against Christ. Be careful. If you do something that leads somebody else who is a believer, maybe a more recent believer, you're not only sinning against him if he goes and does what you do against his conscience, but you're also sinning against Christ. In verse 13, we see the conclusion of the matter. The conclusion is this: we should never do anything which might cause another to sin. Never. That kind of limits one's liberty, doesn't it? Be careful. You may have liberty to do something that nobody else sees or knows about, but you're not always where you aren't seen, especially in your family. Be careful that you don't lead your children to do things that they should not do. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend means causes him to stumble, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend or to cause him to stumble. Believers should thus never do anything which will result in another believer's committing sin. If meat make my brother to offend is a condition which, for sake of discussion, is assumed to be true. It may not actually be true in a particular case, but if should therefore be understood in the sense of assuming that. Make to offend means causes to stumble. I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I will guard my behavior so that I do nothing which will lead another to commit sin against his conscience. Self says, I will do what I want to do. No one has to sin because of me. No one's going to tell me what I may or what I may not do. Love says, I will not take any chances. I will not do something, even if it might be all right, if there is any chance that it might lead another Christian to commit sin. But love, rather than self, is what must characterize our attitudes. We love our children. We love our fellow church people. We even supposedly love our neighbors. We're supposed to, anyway. Our enemies. Be careful that you're operating on the basis of love, not on the basis of self. It's time to pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying thy word, and help us never to do something that might lead someone else to commit sin against his conscience. Help us to be very sensitive about that and to be godly people. In Jesus' name, amen.